Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you aboard, and hope that you had a great weekend. Welcome. Let me introduce our panelists to you, and then we will get on to other things here, like the topics for the day, and invite you to join us in that discussion. First, let me introduce our wonderful panel. Oh, there's the script.
You don't know us by now.
I know your names. Well, I do know your names.
Script?
Yeah, I do. I just want to make sure I get everything right. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, panel. Good morning, everyone.
Essayist, author, editor, and activist Barbara Smith joins us this morning. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
And we welcome back Libby Post, political consultant.
Hey, Libby.
Who was away on vacation, and which I followed on Facebook, and it seems like you had a lovely time.
Yes, I did. I did, yes. I did. And good. I was also away for work, so it was a little bit of both.
Yes. Yeah. That wasn't nearly as exciting, but it was still lovely
to
watch.
No, Jamestown is, you know, really out there. That's where I was.
It's a big state, isn't it?
It is, yes. Certainly is.
Well, we've had major people come from Jamestown.
Yes, the Lundeens.
Stan Lundeen.
Stan Lundeen and his lovely wife, Sarah, who was great. I loved her.
I'm sorry, wasn't Lucille Ball from Jamestown?
Yes, and she
yeah.
too.
Yeah, okay, that was the big one.
I mean, you go there, everything
No, Stan Lundeen was the big one.
Right. Maglev trains and
right.
all.
I went to Baba Lou's for breakfast one morning. It was fun.
All right, let's go on to the topics. Just a reminder, you can join us, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and I would love to hear what is on your mind on the many issues that we talk about this morning. We begin with the big story that came out of the Thursday debate with 10 of the 17 Republican presidential candidates on the Fox News network, which was one of the questioners was Megyn Kelly. Well, then Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly, well, Donald Trump got into a spat with Megyn Kelly. I don't think Megyn Kelly has really said anything back to her credit. But Donald Trump has picked a fight with her and said that she was against him and that
simply for asking him a question.
Yes, that she was awful and so forth. Okay, so then he goes on CNN on Friday with Don Lemon, who for no other reason, I just want to mention this, in 2014 was voted by the Columbia Journalism Review as the worst journalist in the nation. I just mentioned that.
Bar none.
So then, Friday night, Don Lemon, Mr. Trump says, you could see that there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her, you know, wherever. The remark prompted Eric Erickson, the leader of Red State, the conservative group, to disinvite him. And apparently now there is a big brouhaha over whether he meant basically saying that the reason that she was mean to him is because she was having her period. Now, I don't know if you can take that from what he said or not, but he is refusing to apologize. There are many people who are quite angry. His own chief advisor, Roger Stone.
No beauty contest winner himself.
Yeah, really.
I was about to say. I was
the
about
Lee Atwater of our generation.
I was about to say in the comparison column of stable, I don't know, yeah, like Trump or Roger Stone, but okay, so Roger Stone leaves the campaign. And then, and here we are talking about this issue, and just end the setup of this. Meanwhile, on all four Sunday morning shows, Donald Trump appeared, and I think Marco Rubio should win some prize for saying, you know what, for every single solitary time that we're talking about him, we're not talking about something important, and I'm fed up, and I'm just going to not talk about anything else but what I believe matters. So that's the setup.
Well, first of all, one has to go to motive here. Does this guy Trump really want to be president of the United States? Is that what this is really all about? Or is this just one more exercise in brand building for Trump? In which case, he doesn't care about the Republicans. He doesn't care about anybody. He only cares about himself.
That's true.
And he certainly has achieved what he wants. I just want to say that the one thing I think this guy really has done is to tap into the sexist, racist,
The angry white male contingent.
The only question, well, Libby, I don't know how you can dismiss this that easily.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah. But that's what it
is. Because I think that he has tapped into a huge reservoir of people in this country who are racist, homophobic, and sexist. You see it when you see gay marriage being dismissed by majorities in some votes. So we know they're there. We see it because we know that this is what exists in this country. And he has basically said, okay, I'm sick and tired of PC. I don't want to hear about PC anymore. And there are a lot of people out there in the garage and other places telling dirty jokes. And somebody saying to them, you can't say that. You're not allowed to say that. And they hate it. And of course, dirty jokes are terrible when they have an object of somebody who is, you know, who's it for the moment.
I just have to say something about political correctness. It's being bandied about so frequently these days, given, you know, the situation and Trump being at the epicenter of all attention. Political correctness is a negative way of talking about something that those of us who are the target of,
exactly.
It's not just jokes, you know.
No.
Who are the target of hate speech, who are the target of disparaging speech, who are the target of being assumed to be less than,
sure.
And that being conveyed through the terms that are used about us. Political correctness, as I said, is a negative way of talking about, let's not do that anymore.
Yep.
And having lived a lot of my life in the United States before there was any such thing as political correctness, end quotes, it has impact. It really is, as I said, to wake up every morning of your life up until a certain point and know that the received perspective by those who inhabit the country with you is that you're inferior.
You're exactly right.
So political correctness, and that's on every level. You know, it's not just, you know, racial. It's not just gender. It's sexual orientation.
Everything.
It's everything. And it's just, it's not.
Right.
I just wish they would stop with that.
Well, it's their way of using a term and undermining what we've been trying
like
to do.
Like identity politics.
Right, identity politics, the same thing. You know, and Al, when I said the angry white men contingent, I wasn't diminishing it at all. The fact of the matter is, this is who these guys are. They are the angry white men and some very angry white women contingent who, you know, who might very well be the Tea Partiers, some folks in the radical Christian right. I think that, you know, I think the two of them are pretty similar, but there are some differences. Sometimes they don't always come together. It's not always the same people. But, you know, what he said was, I mean, he's bringing male chauvinism back to a whole new light, you know, and then you have the Republican Party saying, oh, that's a horrible thing to say, but yet are trumpeting and campaigning on banning Planned Parenthood and taking all the money away from Planned Parenthood, where they're, you know, I mean, and then he at least is saying, "Oh, I won't defund Planned Parenthood." So it's, you know, it's bizarre.
Let me just say that Angel has written in, and she says, "That guy, stop talking about him." Well, I want to deal with that for a moment because there will be people who say that. Here is a man who is leading in the polls.
Right, scary.
Okay, so it's worth talking about because of the recipients of the message who are supporting that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the discussion you've just heard here is an intelligent discussion, but an important discussion, because if he has, in fact, as Barbara and I have just said, tapped into this huge, and you, Libby, you've tapped into this huge group of people, this is an important story. I often talk about somebody back in the 1930s, who was dismissed as a madman, as a joke, and the rest of it. And the implications of what happened as a result of that are huge.
I thought somebody's quote in here, some guy named McQuaid, that his base is more like the people who used to have season tickets to the Roman Colosseum. Mm. I thought that was really
that was a
pretty
good line.
Spot on.
Yeah.
That not mm-hmm. sure that they vote in great numbers, but they like blood sport.
I'm fascinated by, what Alan was saying of so you look, and you mentioned this too, Olivia, but you look at what he is saying, and so you call people stupid, you say they're idiots, if a guy quits, you say, no, what, I fired him because he was an idiot.
Yeah.
And so you just turn everything around.
Yep.
First of all, when does the public get tired of that? I mean, I think it's fun for a while, but when does that get tiresome?
Everybody's been expecting it to happen, Joe, and it hasn't happened.
Right.
The guy maintains his position in the polls.
We said the same thing about wondering about reality TV. Oh, that'll
yeah.
only be a fad. It'll go
right.
away.
Oh,
and here we are
we
20
wish.
Years later.
We
so,
wish.
Right. So there is that. But then there's the other thing of, too, of exactly what Libby was talking about with the other candidates. So the other candidates, I mean, aren't exactly great with their, I'm being charitable here, but with their politics on women and
absolutely not.
So,
right.
So then, where does that put that discussion, and does it move anybody else?
They don't want to talk about women's periods because it's kind of yucky. So they don't want anybody to talk about it at all. They don't even want it to like exist if they could. Have
well,
it that
and
way. Right.
Well, and truth be told, that we shouldn't. You know, it shouldn't have been brought up in the first place.
Oh, sure.
Well, but you know, it's interesting because we've talked about this before. We have a series of women in this country who should run for political office when they are still at a younger age as opposed to being, you know, older. And I've always felt that has to do with the rejection of women as other than sexual objects. And it really is a very scary thing to me. So when he brings this up now, he's reinforcing exactly that. I don't know. And somebody, Dan, said to you, Libby, angry males, yes. But on CNN this morning, the interviewees were angry females who vehemently defended Trump. It's not totally a chauvinist issue. It's also an angry people thing. More scary, said Dan.
You're going to have women defending him because that's their job. And that's how they get their... Whoops.
Oh, no.
That's how they get their sense of who they are in terms of their own self-esteem. They identify with him. They want to be like him. And so they're going to defend him. Any rational... I wonder what his daughter and his wife must
that,
think.
I think
that's
about
the
them.
Thing.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
think about
it's like,
them.
You know...
His daughter and his wives.
Yeah, his daughter and his wives, right. But what do they must think? What they must think? Because...
Two are probably enjoying
right,
it.
What does he really think about them deep down?
Right.
He is such a misogynist.
Right, right, right.
You know?
And
what,
that's, I mean, I don't like to get into the, I don't know what words, the biology of it all. It's not the fact everybody, you know, who is a conscious, you know, even children know
right.
that there is such a thing as a period. They also know that if not for them, there would be no people on Earth.
Right. Right.
That's how children, you know,
yeah.
our babies, you know, etc. So the thing is, we understand the reproductive cycle. The thing about what he did was to use it as a pejorative.
Right.
So it wasn't just the fact that he alluded to the fact that such a thing exists. It's because of the fact that he was doing it so, you know, damningly, if you see what I'm saying. I was watching Melissa Harris Perry, I think it was on Saturday, and the thing is she was saying, so it's not all right for us to talk about these reproductive issues, because she was kind of getting into, like, are we being Victorian or whatever, and I thought, that's not exactly the point. The point is that he's using it as a club to diminish and to dismiss.
Well, and to say when women have their periods, mm-hmm. they're irrational.
Exactly.
They're hormonally driven.
Exactly.
They just can't make a decision of their own. And then that carries out into the other 3 weeks of the month. So it's
crazy.
You know, it's this. It's
so
really
insane.
Some of the most primally misogynist
it is.
Rhetoric.
It's primal.
It really
it's absolutely
is primal.
Primal. Yeah, it's.
We have, I'll go to the other, we'll skip the one break and I'll go to the other early so we can make up. Do you have other letters?
We do. David writes, Donald Trump is appealing to a group of people who have been shafted by GOP economics instead of focusing on Trump's personal traits. discuss his policies, and explain how his proposals will make their economic status worse. Well, I think that one of the things that we don't know is what his policies are.
That's right.
That's correct.
Right.
So it's easy to say, but, you know, it's unclear. Michael says, hey, guys, what about angry black men? Their anger is justified? The looting in Ferguson is justified and not just bad behavior? I never understood what looting does to get justice.
I don't know why we even went there.
Went where? To the letter?
No, went to the black men. Angry. I don't know how a conversation about racially driven anger has something to do with what we're talking about.
Well, Barbara, I have to be honest with you. I and probably will get myself into trouble, but I am, you know, I was very disturbed by the Ferguson protest rally where somebody got up and started shooting.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, started shooting.
I knew there was a shooting nearby. I did not know that it was.
Yeah, we have it as a story, and we can go into it after the break. Mm-hmm.
But I was bothered by that, and I don't know that what happens is that that kind of anger, no matter how angry one could be, is justified. I mean, you start shooting off a gun.
I thought that it was a shooting nearby. I had no idea it had anything to do with the demonstration, but we'll get into that.
There was something after the shooting that was nearby.
Uh-huh.
Something happened after
See. Okay.
And then somebody in the crowd got shot.
Oh, dear.
Right.
Well, in any case, Steve says, any of the other GOP candidates, any of the other GOP candidates who aren't anti-gay, anti-woman, anti-immigrant, in love with love, the NRA, AIPAC, and the Koch brothers, is what this letter says.
You know, what Trump goes to is what you always talk about, Alan, is that people in the middle either voting up or down, either vote, you know, and now they're looking to vote for somebody who's a demagogue and they think will solve all the problems just because he blusters a lot. And, you know, if he's president, I think we're really moving to Canada. We'll do this long distance.
Jeb said, Philip said of Jeb Bush, his comments at Red State were worse. He reacted by making it about votes, not respect for women. And that's from Philip. And then Ashley says, as Libby said, this tweet from Anna Marie Cox says it all. And then there was this whole thing. Please, folks, don't send us,
links.
Just say what you have to say in a few sentences, and that would be very helpful. Joel says, confused? This is where I get confused. I've heard Megyn Kelly rip Donald Trump's hair and ideas. I've heard many rip Sarah Palin and her politics, male or female. If these people fight back, they're looked at as loose cannons. If people rip Hillary Clinton, people defend her. The only difference is political view. Is it really sexism, racism, and political correctness? Love the show, Joel. See?
I think it's what you say, though, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, as much as we think a number of the Republicans are pretty heinous, none of them are this stupid to say things like this.
Which is what Constantinian just said. I don't like Mr. Trump, but is he more misogynist than the rest of the GOP gang running for president?
Oh no, I don't think that. I mean, we have a Mike Huckabee.
Right.
We're gonna hold it there and take a pause, and we'll be back. We're gonna get the BBC News, and we'll come back. We'll read more letters and get your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you would like to join in on the discussion and comment on some of the issues that we are discussing this morning. We have Alan Chartok, Barbara Smith, and Libby Post making up the group this morning. I'm Joe Donahue, and again, welcoming your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have several more letters we want to get to before we move on to other topics.
Okay, so from Narcissa, dear Roundtable, never to defend Trump or Trump lovers, I don't think your discussion of the word political correctness did justice to people's feelings or reality. Yes, blowhards like Trump say I'm not PC as an excuse to say things that are offensive in all sorts of ways. There's a strong fan base for this behavior, but there's also a strong fan base for a brittle way of interpreting other people's language and worldviews that is not good and does not promote freedom or equality. It only promotes groupthink. People can chafe and dislike being pushed around by these bullies as well without wishing to a return to the bad old days. Not dealing with people's frustrations in that regard actually enables the Trumps of the world. Okay, so then we come to from Eve. Don't believe that the Ferguson area police about the shooting. There are also witnesses who say that the young man was unarmed and leaving the area. That's from Eve. And Karen says, was somewhat taken aback when Alan said dirty jokes in the garage, having lived with and known many mechanics. That kind of stereotype sentence is more than incorrect. Many mechanics are women. Most of them are highly intelligent. It's concerned with current issues as the panel. It's classist, another thing to think about, along with racism and sexism. And that's from Karen. And Donna says, here's the truth about Mr. Trump. He does not have to kowtow to any specific group of people, women, gays, oil companies, immigrants, because he funds himself and can say anything at any time and get free media exposure. If regular folks could afford to run for office, the political landscape would look so much differently. And that's from Donna in Saratoga Springs. And Michael, obscured by the noise about Trump's words is his reasoning. He didn't like the questions from Megyn Kelly and Chris Wallace. One hopes he will not be able to control the discussion of the issues. And Tom says, don't forget the crazies who interrupted Bernie Sanders in Seattle. Now, you know, Bernie Sanders got up there and he was not allowed to continue with his speech. And he was called names, too. By the way, he was widely received in Washington State yesterday. But it was a group of people who felt that he was a classic, white liberal. I thought, very troublesome, but maybe that's just me. So that's from Tom. Legionnaires outbreak. No, we're not doing that today. Right now, right, Joe? No, okay. Sorry about that. And so from Scott, Trump's tapping into an anti-establishment sentiment is a thing unto itself, but it does show how frustrated the GOP base is with the status quo. In this way, is there any similarity, anti-status quo, with Bernie's message? A lot of dissatisfied customers out there of all stripes. Great show. Said Scott, anybody want to deal with that one? I mean, I think that's an interesting concept that there are these two major groups who are sort of controlling politics, these two establishment groups. And there are a lot of people who are not happy with it. But I don't think we could even begin to compare Bernie's message with that of a Trump, except that they both tapped into large numbers of people who think they're being had by the establishment. Barbara says, Peter, read the political correctness discussion. Is it maybe better to expose this chump and his followers than allow this type of sentiment to continue to fester forever below the surface? That's from Peter. And then I guess Bob, if Trump adhered to political correctness, we wouldn't know what a jerk he is. Bob. Dear Roundtable, it's from David. Trump is a bigoted thug, but unfortunately I went to college with guys who thought this way. Trump has a lot of charisma, and so did Hitler. Just hope we wake up. Deborah says, he referred to the debate as having been on, quote, the show and talked about ratings. What's more, do you need to know what? Oh, let's see. What more do you need to know about this approach? Deborah, P.S., love the Roundtable. Okay, and Ken says, the big story is Trump, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Bernie speaks to 20,000 in Portland with 8,000 more who couldn't get in and another 10,000 online. Wow, talk about your misplaced lead. And then Eric wanted us to know that Roger Stone, didn't leave because of the Megyn Kelly thing per se, but because he wanted Trump to pivot to a serious campaign with issues. Trump is alone among candidates in having no stated positions on his website. Well, be honest with you, Eric, Trump is a well-known trickster who has for years done anything but been serious about about political issues.
Just for the record, Roger Stone in his tweet said, "I have left the campaign. I disagree with diversion to food fight with Megyn Kelly away from core issue messages." Mm-hmm. So, for what it's worth.
Well, and then Gina says, "I don't know a single woman who's acted as crazy on her period as Donald Trump acts every," and then uses a word I'm not using on the radio, "day." And that's from Lori. And I'm not going to read what I don't know is true, so I'm not doing that. Okay. And there we are. What else can I say, Joe?
All right. Well, we have many other topics to discuss, so we'll move on to those. And because we just got a lot of letters on the Trump thing. So just keep that in mind when you say, why are you talking about
this? Yeah, and including a lot of letters that say, don't talk about him.
Right.
Enough already.
So we'll go to the Ferguson one-year anniversary and the story that is developing. And we are hearing, just as you can hear in the mail, different things. This is the story. Last night, when we were working on stories and sending them out, there was a shooting. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary, and there was a protest marking a year after Michael Brown's death. And the report came out that St. Louis County police officer shot and critically injured a man who fired at them here late Sunday night, and that's the new development.
Right.
The authorities said, setting this region on yet another tense and uncertain course in the same day that hundreds gathered to commemorate the anniversary of the killing of Michael Brown. The shooting came after rival groups began shooting at each other on the west side of West Florissant Avenue, the center of the Ferguson protest. Chief John Belmer of the St. Louis County Police Department said that there had been two more shootings in that area and that the police had used smoke canisters. The injured man, who was not publicly identified, was part of one of the rival groups. Four plainclothes officers saw him running across a parking lot on the opposite side of the avenue. The officers drove their unmarked sport utility vehicle with its interior lights flashing toward him, and he opened fire on the car. Chief Bomber said the police returned fire from inside the car and then chased the man on foot. Dozens of gunshots were fired, and all four officers shot back and hit the man, who fell to the ground. This from the New York Times this morning.
So what I want to know, and as was apparent a few minutes ago, I wasn't aware of this development, but what I want to know is these two rival groups, I am going to jump to the conclusion that they were not connected to the protest, that they were people who carry guns and shoot at police. Which is a whole different thing as far as I can see. I think since it's developing, we can't probably be definitive about that.
The chief did make a comment saying slightly, they were criminals, they weren't protesters, said of the groups exchanging gunfire. Protesters are the people out there talking about a way to effect change. We can't afford to have this kind of violence, not only on a night like this, but at any point in time if we're going to move forward in the right direction.
Right, and I think, it's a cauldron of really very complex issues, and we have seen that, like with the response in Baltimore to the Freddie Gray death. What we see is people who are disaffected and really very, very just outside of anything that we would think of as like civic, a civic connection. They react the way that they react, and then it gets connected to the larger issues of should we be having police brutality? Should we be having rough rides? Should we be having, shooting of unarmed civilians? I mean, it gets really confusing, and I would frankly like to shake them. I think about that mother who, became very visible and known because she basically told her son, you're not doing this, and she used physical, to do that. I'm really not against you know, paddling and spanking and all of that kind of thing. But the thing is, it's just so infuriating when you know there's such important issues that get subsumed under gangs shooting at each other.
Well, let's, I mean, this is very complicated, as you say, Barbara. You got two gangs out there. And this is all preliminary. As Joe keeps saying, this is unfolding as we go. So we're going to know more, you know, about this. But you have a Justice Department run now by a person of color. And before, by a person of color, a president who is clearly upset about this. They look into some of these police shootings and they say... we can't indict, and we can't because there's no proof that this is actually done in the wrong way. So I'm fascinated by that. I mean, there's an assumption amongst us liberals in this country that that this is all part and parcel of one thing. But there are people who are thugs. There are people who no, certainly not Eric Garner, but you find that there are situations in which police defend themselves, and the Justice Department doesn't come in and say this was done in a wrong way.
The issue here is going back to what Barbara was saying, and your use of the word thug, is that for those people who love Donald Trump, they'll see the shooting as indicative and characteristic of the entire African-American community, of all people of color, with the excuse of, see, I don't have to like these people.
Yeah, well, that's wrong.
Because, right. But that's what's going on.
So what happens is, in other words, if somebody commits a crime or bashes in a window or does this or that, are we not allowed to say that's wrong because it will go to everybody of that group?
No, I'm not saying you can't say that it's wrong, but you can't use that action as an excuse.
Well, who's using it? I'm not using
it
that way.
No, but there are people who use that action as an excuse to hate the entire race.
And also an excuse for injustice.
Right.
Also an excuse for injustice.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. I think... I mean, we were talking about the complexity. I referred to these groups, they were referred to in the article as rival groups. Mm-hmm. I use the term gangs. That's
right.
I probably shouldn't have. It's shorthand because we don't know if they were gang members or not.
Well,
they might just have been rival groups. But then there's the underlying context of like poverty and joblessness and an inadequate and failing educational system and just all kinds of issues, trauma, incarceration, mass incarceration. Those are the elements that build a community and a context in which an I don't care attitude flourishes.
Right, and where it becomes a tinderbox, like
well,
we saw in Baltimore.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Barbara, but I want to ask a question. What happens if somebody does wrong? What happens if somebody, you're right, we know what leads to this.
Mm-hmm.
We know what leads to this. And yet, we're playing on a sort of two-dimensional chessboard. We're playing on all the things you just mentioned that have led to our current situation.
Right.
At the same time, there are people who are lawbreakers here. What does the police, what do the police do about those people in the moment when they see somebody killing or shooting? What do you do?
I think that police and other criminal justice professionals should indeed respond to endangering situations and to illegal situations. That's what their job is.
Yeah, I agree.
But the issue is that issue of justice and the fact that we have a disproportionate negative response to people of color. Are they actually dangerous or a threat? The
right.
guy in his car who didn't have a front license plate,
tell me why
he was shot in the head. I don't understand what he could have possibly have done that would have made shooting him in the head an appropriate action.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Right.
So, as I said, there's this just jump to conclusions. I was at a great conference this meeting this weekend at you know, the it was not sponsored by the Unitarian Society, but it was here in Albany. It was about relations between people of color and Albany and the police. And the police chief and many officers were there. Many members of the community were there. One of the most compelling presentations was about implicit bias and how, you know, this is social science and psychology. We can't even control, you know, the responses that we have. And it's proven that even people of color, when they do those quick tests, you know, who's dangerous, who's not, who's nice, who's not, who's pretty, who's not, these are online tests that anybody can take, that a large proportion of people of color end up with the same kind of negative scores and reactions that white people do, because it's kind of, you know,
baked in.
So it's really complicated.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up our program and our discussion. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning. WaldorfSaratoga.org. And from Bedard Brothers, Cheshire, featuring seven brands in one location. Chevrolet, Honda, Volvo, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram, plus late model pre-owned cars and trucks. It's hard to beat Bedard online, BedardBrothers.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our program. We only have about 5 or 6 minutes left, and but we want to get to a topic or two before we leave you. And so let's just go for something a little bit lighter.
Coca-Cola?
Yeah, we'll go with the Coca-Cola story. This is...
I love it. I love it.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
So Coca-Cola... has done this. Well, they obviously
hired consultants.
They've been under a lot of fire, of course, of having
too much sugar.
Too much sugar in the beverage. So, the world's largest producer of sugary beverages is backing a new science-based, quote unquote, solution to the obesity crisis to maintain a healthy weight, get more exercise, and worry less about cutting calories. And in other words, keep drinking the Coca-Cola, but you know, then just exercise more, stay fit. And there is a great ad, a video that's been produced that says Coca-Cola helping families get fit.
I love
that's
it.
Crazy.
Let me just say that I have exercised an hour every day, and I don't care if I have to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I can tell you this much right now: you don't cut calories, you don't lose weight. That it's that simple. And this is so disingenuous and as if it's either or. You can't do one and you do the other. But I must say, I exercise like a fiend, and I do not lose weight if I go and start eating.
Right.
It's that simple.
True. That's true.
According to this group, most of the focus in the popular media and in the scientific press is, oh, they're eating too much, eating too much, they're drinking too much, they're blaming fast food, they're blaming sugary drinks, and so on. This according to the vice president of the group, Stephen Blair, an exercise scientist, who says in a recent video announcing the new organization, quote, there's really virtually no compelling evidence that that, in fact, is the cause.
Mm. I just want to go back and get in the time machine. I don't know if anybody else remembers the commercial from Pepsi, the rival.
Yes.
And it was Pepsi Cola's up to date for modern people who watch their weight.
Yes.
Refreshing without filling, too. I can't remember. There's a line in there. But they actually, wow. This is 1950s. They were actually
saying this was a light drink.
Like, yes. like smoking cigarettes makes you sexy, but not dead. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, we get around to it sooner or later. I see that the... we talked about this on this show, that the terrible, insidious chewing tobacco thing is being outlawed, which becomes a a signal to young people that they should be doing the same thing.
Right.
They get cancer of the jaw. We still haven't outlawed using products. Mm-hmm. And I know at least one baseball player who owned such a company. So sooner or later we get to the point of doing what's right. I think. And I know that Joe and I have been users of Diet Pepsi.
Oh.
And we don't have the science on that, but we do know, and I've stopped it and Joe stopped it, we do know that if you do it, somehow, even with the dietary stuff, you gain weight.
Are you talking about drinking
diet?
That's a study that's been out for some time that people who drink a lot of diet, that is no calorie drink, still
right.
Anyway. And one of the reasons they think it's because it gives them the idea, well, I can eat
a little extra of this,
I'm drinking calorie soda.
Right.
Yes. And then of course, whatever the chemicals are in that.
Right.
Well, I'll let you know when one leg gets shorter than the other. But, you know, the other part of this whole Coke thing, as well as all the sugar, you know, the massive explosion of adolescent obesity and teenage obesity, childhood obesity, and, you know, the fact that poor folks, people who don't have means, go for the cheap and easy when it comes to nutrition, and it's just this endless cycle.
Particularly when you live in a food desert. Albany
has
several food deserts in our downtown neighborhoods.
Explain to people what that is.
Well, thank you. Food desert is a place where there is no easy access to healthy and fresh food. So in other words, a supermarket or a grocery store that has, you know, a variety of things that are good for people to eat.
What is the radius of that? Of what
I don't know if it's like a mile or half a mile. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
But it's
common distance.
I think it probably has something to do with walking distance as opposed to having to drive
in a city area.
Right. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I mean, there's only one supermarket that serves the urban area downtown in Albany. And it's the Price Chopper on Delaware Avenue.
That's right.
So everyone in Arbor Hill, which is a good mile and a half to 2 miles
away. Well, that's a trek.
It's a trek to schlep mm-hmm. the bags, you know, are in a food desert.
South End, too.
The people who live in the South End.
The far South End.
Right,
yeah.
are in this food mm-hmm. desert. And then you
and definitely
welcome.
West.
But I want to say that this goes on. This goes on not only on Albany, because
we
get to an awful lot of
we
territory here. Yeah.
No, it's a national problem. Our Albany neighborhood since we're here in Albany.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's a national problem.
And we know the neighborhoods.
We are out of time. I want to thank everybody who wrote a letter. And if you still want to write a letter, you can. roundtable@wamc.org. I also want to thank our panelists this morning, Alan and Barbara and Libby. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Nice
and
to be back.
We will have another conversation tomorrow. We look forward to that. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.